So with these example charts, we think about these themes of Lilith and how Lilith comes out in people's lives, and of course they're going to be, of course they're going to be people, because Lilith is not vacant from the world, but there are going to be some people who are going to, well-known people are going to carry this energy strongly. And I thought about some examples to use, and people I'd either looked up Lilith in their charts or I'd thought about it before. Two of these, Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton, I did look up several years ago around that election, because I wanted to know what the difference was, because Hillary seems real and Sarah seems fake. And so regarding like being a woman, being and having a sense of strength being a woman in this kind of culture, and of course they're in politics, getting to the top of the political sphere. So I wanted to look at that, and so I included those because I had looked at those. But then I just thought of a couple of other figures, and Angelina Jolie is obviously a very strong kind of Lilith figure, and so is, of course, Madonna. She might be the original one, for people in our generation. Mm-hmm. And then I threw in Oprah, and that's – so anyway, so we're just going to cover these briefly. I just want to give you a sense of how that energy plays in their lives. So actually, I'd like to start with Madonna, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's actually got Lilith in the first, like you. She's got Lilith in late Pisces at 28 Pisces in the first. And so she's carrying this, this energy very strongly. She also has Chiron there in the first. This is, by the way, the birth time that she claims. Somebody has listed like D or C or something as 7:05 a.m., and she says actually it's 7:05 p.m., and that's what you should use. So that's what this chart is. And so the one that she claims is this Lilith in the first chart.
Okay.
Yeah. And, lots of things in her chart we can look at. We can look at Saturn in the 10th. Saturn, Lucifer in the 10th, overcoming doubts to, being the kind of authority figure she wants to be. All that stuff we can see really active in her life. But then with this first house, this Aquarius rising, I'm different. Chiron's there. There's something unique about me all the time. But then this Lilith and Pisces, needing to go with the flow, needing to allow all those things to come out. All those things about, autonomy and independence and raw sexuality. And, if I have to, I'll go it alone, and there's that kind of Lilith flavor that she definitely has strongly. Mm. And then, then she does have her South Node in the second. So in certain lives, she has to, be self-reliant and independent. And there's that energy that's not foreign to her, but the Lilith in the first means she will always be. It doesn't matter how old she is, frankly, and it doesn't matter what she looks like. She will always be a symbol of raw sexuality, through her music and how she appears to people, and the kind of all the glitz and glamour that goes with that music, but she will always appear that way. And part of that is that Lilith in the first energy. So I don't need to spend a ton of time on each of these charts, but I just want to give a context a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, just my last comment on her would be this loaded seventh house.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Pallas, Sun, Juno, Pluto, Mercury, Ceres, Moon, basically a giant stellium from like mid-Leo to mid-Virgo in the seventh house. And so there is this definite orientation toward others. So it's not like she's, decided she's an island or something, but that strong sense of autonomy is something that she is known for, which is the Lilith in the first counterpoint to having like Sun, Pluto, Moon in the seventh, the counterpoint. And it would have evolved over time. So it's probable that like when she was a little kid, the Lilith was loud in a way that wasn't acceptable, and then she, may have toned it down at certain points, and then it would have, it's obviously for the decades that we've been aware of her, as a media figure, it's definitely been louder. But actually, I think about this because there are songs from the 80s stuck in my head all the time. And mm-hmm. some of them are hers. And so when I'm at the grocery store or somewhere at the gas station and there's music playing, I think about this because the difference, thinking about her as a Lilith person, the difference between her early stuff that we heard on the radio as kids and even like 5-10 years after that is vast. And it's less to do with the music industry or something like that. It has less to do with that, I believe, than her growing into being Lilith and being in her body in a certain way and kind of bringing that sexuality through the creativity out through through the art. Yeah. So anyway, that's what I can offer about her. Do you have any comments about?
I'm just curious, from a perspective of what would, in her case, what would an unhealthy Lilith look like versus a healthy Lilith? Like how are the ways she's struggled with healthy expression of that energy?
So being unapologetic, being unapologetic about, now in her case, it's an artistic representation, right? I'm not saying she is her music or she is this lyric or something like that. She is that style of dance, but this is like her self-expression, what she has to say for herself.
Yeah.
And an unhealthy expression is a giant chip on the shoulder, which is anger or suppression, quiet, I will be who you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the unhealthy thing with her, especially with this heavy seventh house.
Yeah.
Especially with the heavy seventh house. So the healthy is, if she's being honest, then some people will look at her and be a little uncomfortable. Look at her and think she's a little threatening.
Mm-hmm.
The look in her face. Like, you look at a picture of her where she's not grinning from the last 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at Lilith, even if her hair is dyed a different color or whatever. You're looking at Lilith because she's not beaming, I like to be accepted. She's beaming, I'm here and this is who I am. She's just showing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like there's different qualities of look. Yeah, like when you see a woman who is trying to be Eve, you know, it's a very different kind of thing. And I personally don't always trust people who are trying to be Eve just because I know that's not the real story. So, but anyway, that kind of hardened look. I always think of also Maria Callas. I always think of her because she carries this too. I'm sure I've even mentioned that to you before because it's on my mind when I think about that look in the eye of that, like, that strong feminine energy that's interpreted to be dark or negative. And of course, she's, you know, another singer, an opera singer, and considered to be an artiste, a diva, and all this stuff. So she can get away with it because she puts it into these roles and get away with it. And so, you know, I think that, in the mid to late 80s, if Madonna were not doing this through her, you know, what her art form is, I think that she'd probably be getting in trouble in a bunch of different ways because she'd be trying to find a good way to express it. We're all trying to find the right way to express what's in our first house. And for her, I think, if she takes it personally that people, you know, react to her, Coward in the First, then it can get in the way. But obviously she's done something about, she's done something about that. I mean, she's correcting astrologers about her birth time.
Right.
So that means something's okay about Chiron in the First.
Mm-hmm.
Like something's okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, so
okay.
That's
good.
So that's her. And then how about Oprah?
Yeah.
Now this is kind of interesting. So I've looked at Oprah before. She's included as an example in the First Soul's Journey book. And I talk about her nodal stuff and Pluto and different stuff. So here, the true black moon Lilith is at 11 Libra in the ninth. It's 6 degrees from the midheaven. And it's with Ceres and Persephone. And so Ceres is about nurturing. Persephone is about needing to abduct ourselves into a good place to be. And so the way that she did this was through her, obviously, you know, her talk show that took, you know, the entire cosmos by storm, by storm. And so there's Lilith near the midheaven with Ceres, this kind of nurturing energy, Persephone abducting herself into something new. Because she was a news reporter. She was like one of those people who goes in the van to the site of the car accident and reports from the, she was like a local correspondent for that. That's how she got her start that way. So, but when she is doing this midheaven, obviously Neptune's in the 10th. So there is a sense of glamour, and people idealize her as well as idolize her. And again, Saturn in the 10th house too, like Madonna with the chart that she claims. But Lilith near the midheaven here, it's like coming out in her personal, you know, and the way she is in the world, it's with Ceres. So she identifies as a Ceres figure, but she's got to tell the truth about it. And I think she's really interesting because Uranus on, you know, the 7th house south node, in Cancer, you know, like her own emotional traumas, but she's able to work with others. She's able to do that. And then the first house, she's also first house Chiron, like Madonna. But this Chiron on the north node, needing to accept the ways that she's different. And, you know, one of the things that we've noticed about her over the years, even me not even paying attention, being in the grocery store, is looking at the tabloid photos or the different kinds of photos where this year she seems heavy, this next year she seems thinner, and there's a story about how she lost all the weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that. How many times has that happened in the last, like, 20 years? It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like probably
yeah.
six times something. That's something
yeah.
we know her for. So mm-hmm. I see that as, like, her journey to learn how to deal with emotions, et cetera. But you know, this Lilith near the midheaven is, like, not afraid to be seen as you really
mm-hmm.
are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
and you become a symbol of Lilith. Now, it's in Libra with Ceres, so there is a kind of, like, you know, perhaps a softer side to it, or not like Oprah presents as a mother figure, but she presents with a nurturing strength. You know what I mean? She's not like coddling people and like really being mothering, but she's telling them it's okay to feel what you're feeling and let's talk about it. You know, that kind of strong
mm-hmm.
Ceres energy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's what I see with her. But then you have, it's in a grand trine. With her son in the second in Aquarius, and Jupiter, or actually, you know, Sun Venus, and
mm-hmm.
also Lucifer in Aquarius in the second, and then Jupiter in Gemini in the sixth, and so it's a grand trine in air, which is about inventiveness and cleverosity or something, and it ends up, it's able to come out through her 10th house. You know, this whole energy of this grand trine is able to come out because, you know, this Lilith series Persephone is near the, you know, is near the top. So I find that interesting. I find that interesting in her chart.
Hmm.
Yeah. So coming out in the 10th. I mean, for any of these people, I would almost expect Lilith to be involved with the midheaven just because they're appearing to me to be Lilith figures, you know?
Right. Right.
But with Madonna, if it's in the first, if with Oprah, if it's in the ninth, but near the 10th,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so that kind of explains it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, ninth house and just she's been, you know, about spreading new ideas in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
She brings
Definitely.
New philosophies onto the scene.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the Grand Trine thing, and then with the, yeah, and it's in air, Grand Trine in air, so like ideas and communication, and well, the mm-hmm. ninth house is the house of broadcasting, too.
Mm-hmm.
But see, like, she's not raw, visceral, you know what I mean? She's, I don't mean to be weird or disrespectful, but like, she's probably plucking her eyebrows so she has a certain look. Do you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's not raw, visceral, you know, this
yeah.
raw feminine thing. Yeah, she's
yeah.
not. She's not that. Like, she.
Yeah.
I'm sure she shaves her legs. You know, like, she's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But this grand trine in air and this thing to the midheaven, it is this Lilith energy. It just
mm-hmm.
is kind of sculpted to be a media thing,
right?
Which, you know, near the midheaven, like Lilith
right.
near the midheaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So she carries the energy, but she doesn't always look it. You know, she doesn't always. You know.
Well, what I notice is just how she she's been a leader in bringing more spirituality, I would say, more
mm-hmm.
More feminine ideas and
yeah.
more sort of a broader way of looking at things that has more spirituality connected with it, which
yeah.
seems both feminine and ninth house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Neptune in the 10th. You know, there's that
mm-hmm.
sense of, you can do it where you feel glamorous and you love the attention, or you can do it where you're like trying to raise the lowest common vibration. And I think, you know, I think, I know, I think like I said, you know, this kind of sculpted image is true, and also what you said is true. And I therefore kind of feel like she, I feel like she does it both, but in a way that she knows is acceptable. You know, like, she has something in common, this Lilith, strong Lilith energy, with Hillary Clinton that we're going to look at in a minute. Like, she really does have this kind of look the person in the eye and say the thing that needs to be said energy. Like, think about Hillary. Well, let's kind of transition into her chart. Let's transit. So Hillary, not as the first lady or the person who ran for, you know, the nomination for the presidency, not as the woman who then became the Secretary of State for Obama's first. So not to look at this this figure who's a political figure, but to look at the look in her eye, to look at what you can feel about her that's true. She carries the Lilith thing very strongly. She's more than a lot of people who carry Lilith energy publicly. She well, I have a lot to say about her, but I'll keep it brief here. But more than a lot of women who carry it publicly, she feels it, but she knows it's unacceptable. So she's got to find a middle ground. I see, like, Oprah and Hillary having something in common, but it's different because I don't know if Oprah's more, if Oprah perceives she has more freedom than Hillary Clinton might, just because of the context she's in. But there's that thing about, you know, well, here with Hillary, it's Lilith in the second. It's Lilith in the second. What's most important to you? You know, what's most important to the person. Mm-hmm. And so her value system and what she's able to do and how she's able to do things will come down to that sense of needing autonomy. I always sense a great deal of tension in her. And I think it's because she's involved in this political machine and doesn't truly have freedom that Lilith wants. Like, I don't feel like she's really autonomous. I feel like her whole political deal, actually boils down to the ninth house Leo stuff that square the nodes, Saturn, Pluto, Mars, that square that south node. And so I always sense that, and I've been, of course, watching her forever. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. She's very strategic. You know, she really thinks about not only is this energy that needs to come through, but how am I going to do it in a way that I'm going to be heard and effective?
Exactly. And that's like playing the game. That's like playing this game of politics.
Yeah.
And everybody who's in politics has to do that, but she also knows, you know, about those perceptions of women. And I also feel like, so I feel like her Lilith is, just as I like observe her and listen to her, I feel like it's almost more of like a palace living in a man's world story, or this Pluto, Mars, Saturn, square the nodes, and Leo. Like, I've always perceived she really needed to be at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that squares the nodes, like the unresolved issue of how can I be strong if I didn't win? Like, how can I really feel good if I didn't, you know, and this is a phrase she would never use, of course, and probably no politician would, but I couldn't dominate the competition, so how could I feel good? And so I think it's interesting to watch her because she didn't win. First of all, she was married to the guy who won the one election. She helped him get there, right? The two presidential elections, the previous elections, governor of Arkansas. She, you know, she was a huge part of his political career. And then she decided she's going to have her own, which is kind of a Lilith thing. Like, I need to go do this and be self-reliant, Lilith in the second. I need to be the authority figure for myself, Lilith and Capricorn in the second. But still in that world, where I think some of her karmic questions about how can I feel great about myself, how can I really do this if I don't win? And so then she's Secretary of State, which is a wonderful honor.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wonder I always just wanted to sit down with her over tea and just, like, get her to talk to me not as a politician. I'm trying to observe her karmic journey and to see, you know, because in one sense it's like she didn't win, but she got to still do this cool thing. She got to serve her country. She got to participate still, you know, in the upper ranks of what's going on, but she didn't win, and I think that was the karmic thing for her. But anyway, so I just, you know, So that's But I think that strong feminine energy, I think she, obviously, she does that. She's willing to do that. And then Sarah Palin. And this, when I was looking at this a couple years ago or several years ago, it really caught my eye for one particular reason. Her True Black Moon Lilith, we don't have a birth time for her. Or it's listed as like DD or something like that, so I didn't even use it. But her True Black Moon Lilith is around 21 Scorpio, and it's near Neptune, but it's square the south node or Saturn and her sun. So on two levels, karmically squaring the south node ruler and personality-wise squaring her sun and then also Mars, she's got a problem with the natural wild. So she'll jump on, you know, she's wired to jump on the bandwagon of not, frankly, not really caring about the environment, you know, not noticing that things, you know, all these connections. She's not a Lilith figure. She's, you know, she's a status quo Saturn figure. Anyway, I like pointing this out because it's, you know, in many lives, she'll show up as a Saturn and Aquarius person, conjunct Mars and Sun. So she'll be trying to do something. Probably, I mean, she doesn't show up as that clever in this life, but probably in a bunch of lives, she's very, very clever because people with the South Node in Aquarius tend to be very clever. And needing to compete for something, needing to stand up for a cause of some kind, needing to be seen by people, needing to have her voice heard, and that's like Mars, Sun stuff, conjunct the South Node ruler. But then she is squared by Neptune Lilith in Scorpio, which is nature of the natural world and the power that it can have. So every human has access to this little teeny bit of the strength of the natural world as it comes up through us, through our lower chakras and our, you know, but it's not the power of being able to stop that hurricane. It's the power of being instinctively guided so that we probably can guide ourselves away from a lot of stuff that might happen to us in the natural world. Like, if you're really Lilith, you're not building your house in a floodplain next to a river. So when the flood comes and you feel victimized, you're not Lilith. Lilith is doing it in a smarter way. So it's anyway. So I see Sarah Palin as representative of a lot of people who have basically felt, you know, effed over by nature in different lives, and has a certain orientation towards it. And because it extends to the concept of the natural feminine, there, you know, she is representing this, the other perspective, which is kind of Saturn Aquarius, a little dissociated from what's actually happening with Lilith Neptune. So her views on the environment, her views on you know, marriage equality or marriage rights, or her views on anything that has to do with the Lilith theme, she will put herself on the other side of it because she hasn't felt with those energies. She hasn't felt like the natural world is, you know, should be honored. You know, she doesn't have that. She doesn't know Lilith within her.
So what would be like, for somebody like that, what would be an evolutionary path? You know, like, what would be coming to peace? You know, I'm just like trying to wrap my brain around what would it look like if it was really being expressed in a healthy way?
Okay. So what would naturally happen is, like, before it could be expressed in a healthy way, is that situations and dynamics and people would come to the person in a squaring way, which says, here, why don't you change? Why don't you do what you're doing differently? Why don't you revamp your reasons and motivations for doing what you're doing? Which, of course, is uncomfortable for us. But because it's square the South Node ruler in a bunch of lives, she will naturally draw Lilith Neptune stuff to square her, to pressure her. So an evolutionary, a healthy evolutionary response would be to learn from that tension and ultimately yield something about the Aquarius position. But of course, Aquarius is fixed. And if you have your South Node ruler conjunct Mars and Sun, you're here to prove something and you're a fighter. It's in a fixed sign. You probably don't want to give it up. So for her, probably somebody with this chart would have to feel overwhelmed by that thing about nature and in order to get to the place where the defenses can break down. Because when you're squared a bunch, and like squares to the South Node ruler do this very effectively, when you're, and just like squares to Pluto, when you're squared by something, you're pressured, you know, up against the wall with it, you can become hardened to letting it change you. So mm-hmm. a healthy response would be, as a, you know, she's what? She's the governor of Alaska. Is that what she had been in that position prior to running for that, running for as a vice president?
I think so.
Yeah. So she, you know, Alaska, the natural world,
yeah.
all these things outside of our control. So she would have had numerous opportunities. I mean, she was born in Idaho, but ended up in Alaska. You know, so, you know, the natural world, you know. You know, not like born and raised in Brooklyn. So
mm-hmm.
so for her
mm-hmm.
journey to encounter issues about nature, about animal rights, about human rights, about to encounter all those things that would invite her to see a bigger picture, change her mind, and give up what she perceives as a righteous fight, like Mars, Sun, Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So some people like that would never change their mind. Some people would change their mind. And it's just kind of like, you know, what the path is about. But I think the evolutionary, like evolutionarily health speaking, is to adjust things and to, you know, like with a square, adjustment. Realizing that your picture, your perspective might not be the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Letting things be complicated too, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if you have Mars conjunct Sun, you don't want things to be complicated. You're instinctive. You're a fighter. You're not. You don't want to wait for a response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you need to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating how people like that kind of play a role in the bigger collective evolutionary path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe she's here for a bigger reason that none of us can understand.
I'm sure. Yeah, and I don't mean to say anything bad
right.
about her. It's just that it's
no,
a journey
no.
of somebody in a bunch of lives comes up against Lilith and. You know, has that
right.
opportunity to say, yeah. Now that is part of the clock. I mean, that's totally
yeah.
exactly what you said.
Yeah.
We're all
yeah.
learning that way. Just, you know, people who resist the natural feminine, we're all learning through that. You know. Yeah, we're all learning.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating to me what this, you know, what's the difference between an individual having a chart and learning how to work with those energies and feel at peace with who they are. Versus, you know, that the role that that person may be playing in the bigger picture for others or for the collective, and
yeah.
and it's just I don't know, it's just an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay, so then the last one in this short list is Angelina Jolie, who's yeah. out of all these people. I mean, I said Madonna was like the you know. Probably the first one for us and our, you know, counting you and me in our, you know, we're in our midlife now and in our generations, you know, in our generation, Madonna was this great example, but Angelina Jolie is kind of like the next level, you know, like the next kind of, another kind of incarnation, another level of that for public. When we look at her chart, we see Lilith in the eighth house and it's aspecting some asteroids. It is square Neptune. But it's also square her sun. So, in fact, she has this grand mutable cross involving her, you know, her Lilith and the eighth. This is what I wanted to go at the direction I wanted to go in with her chart, is that, you know, as she's working as an actress, she's getting more attention. She's, you know, doing work and getting recognized for it, and she becomes... You know, she becomes like an A-list kind of celebrity actress, and at the same time, this is when she was with Billy Bob Thornton in a relationship with him, and there were all of these stories. These, you know, if it were anybody else, it might be rumors, but you knew that you found out they were true about all of the raw sexuality. And all of the things that they did with each other, and this is something that came out in kind of this gossip space within media culture. And so she became seen as not just this actress who could do a lot of different kinds of things and do some intense roles, but she also became seen as this, I don't know what the right word is, but like this vixen or vamp or like this raw kind of, you know, she embodies something about raw sexuality for people. And I think that so through an intense partnership is how this this comes out, and it's square her son in the 11th. So, you know, this is kind of this thing about becoming becoming public, and also it's square the nodes. So, you know, so for her to figure more about this out is important. But this idea, and this, and there's this whole thing with her about adopting kids, being a mother. I'm trying to remember if she has given birth to kids or only adopted. Do you actually know? I should look that up right now because
I don't know.
I'm just gonna look it up really quick.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna scan a little. I'm having a hard time sorting through this.
I can Google it really quick.
Okay, so she had babies with Brad Pitt.
Mm.
And there's also this thing about her double mastectomy. That's another part of it because this symbol of what the breast is or what breasts symbolize, and for an attractive actress who has, you know, become a sex symbol, and she has this genetic test done, something like a 90% chance that she will develop, you know, based on her genetic profile, you know, that she will develop breast cancer. So she has this done, and she has fillers added and replaced. So there's something here because she will not stop working, and she will not stop being attractive. So there's also this Lilith kind of raw, visceral thing with that as well. And that decision, like, I don't know what thought process led to that. I mean, obviously, you have the math of 90% or something like that. But, like, there's also that sense of she will continue to be attractive and she'll continue to be a strong female figure, a Lilith figure, even with these filler breasts or these substitute breasts. So she's just an interesting character. I feel like when I look in her eyes in a photo or in an interview, I feel like I see Lilith there as well. You see the Gemini sun, a cosmopolitan thing as well. You know, like you see that. You see that kind of energy. It's not just that she's a, you know, considered pretty or that whatever, but like there's that sense of cosmopolitan. She knows something, you know, she knows something that you don't, but there's also this sense of not being apologetic. This is the huge part of it, not being apologetic for having feminine qualities that are not Eve-like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not being apologetic about that. So, so I think all these figures actually can point to the fact that, you know, Lilith is not by nature isolated. You know, Lilith is not by nature anti-people. You know, Lilith is not by nature angry. And some of these people have turned whatever Lilith-related tension or anger may have been in their lives in some creative direction. So I just think you know, there's a lot of people we could look at. And I thought about including some men in here, but I just wanted to give you these kinds of overviews of a handful of women who definitely fit some Lilith energy profile.
I would love. Do you have Bill Clinton's chart? Because
I had it up, so I will pull it up.
Would be really interesting to see how that energy plays out for men.
Yeah.
Or a man. Yeah.
So do you all give you his birth data?
I think
19,
if I,
you have it.
Okay. Well,
it,
I think.
Oh
it's
no, I have it up actually. Yeah.
My
you want
famous
me to
chart.
It to you?
Sure.
Okay.
Where's fastest?
Okay, then that's what we'll do. Yeah, it's interesting because I've definitely heard of stories of like his grandmother raising him, kind of a strong woman kind of thing, and.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have to email it to you. Hold on one second. Like, trying to remember how things work. Da, da, da. So that is being sent. Actually, his Lilith is 9 degrees from his south node.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. So it's in Leo. Sagittarius, 27 Sagittarius, conjunct to the south node. I usually count like 10 degrees with the conjunction to the south node. This fits in there for how I look at it. And so it means that these themes of what a strong woman is or something like that, you know, carries through in many lives. Now, some of the stuff, like I said, about Palin being squared by Lilith, so, you know, Lilith and Neptune, so, you know, so her relationship to nature will be a certain way, blah, 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 karmically. But with him, it doesn't mean, because it's on the south node, that he automatically embraces all those things. But he's not a stranger to these themes, is the point.
Yeah.
So there, you know, his father died shortly before he was born. He's raised by an alcoholic stepfather who was abusive to his mother. Like, so there's this thing about rage that comes in through this family system. That's one Lilith theme, this rage. And you know, or we should assume, that whatever led to the stepfather's drinking had to do with suppressed emotion and anger and rage and probably his own abuse at different times, his inability to figure out how to kind of, you know, embody this fiery energy in a healthy way and use it proactively. Because all anger comes from pain, so abuse is all sourced in, you know, pain. So, but it's on his south node, so there's a sense of the women in his family and the men, different ways, are dealing with how to treat the feminine. So, so it's on his south node. So in a bunch of lives, he's surrounded by that energy. So it's not weird that he would marry a strong woman.
Right.
So, like, it's not weird that in the 1960s, this young, extremely ambitious, you know, politician in the making would marry a strong woman who was his equal, who was smart, and who was just as ambitious as he was. The road was paved. Doesn't mean he always liked it. Doesn't mean he always liked not having control over his environment. But he understands. I always get the sense of him that he understood that. And this could be me just like making up crap in my head, but just my subtle sense was that he understood the value of strength in a partner, even if he didn't always like that he couldn't control the partner. He couldn't always get the
right
result. He understood the value. I mean, really, I think that what I said about her helping him get to where he was, I think that's really true, and I think he knows that. He always knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And, so for him, Eve wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, marrying Eve mm-hmm. would have been, would not have gotten him where he wanted to go. So he needed somebody who was strong and ambitious like he was to join forces with. And that's kind of a little thing, like the autonomy idea. You know, I need to be autonomous. I want partnership, but I can't have partnership mm-hmm. if we're not equals. And so there's that Lilith thread in there for him, too.
Mm-hmm. What do you make of Lilith in the third?
Mm-hmm.
conjunct the south node, but for a Lilith...
Yeah.
His ideas. I mean, he's got a lot of Libra, mm-hmm. so I see him also as being someone who really kind of says what people want to hear in a lot of ways.
Yes, but he knows the difference, and so there's that sextile from Sagittarius in the third to Libra in the first. And which of these bodies? Jupiter and Juno. Jupiter in the first is sextile that Lilith, and so there's a sense of knowing how to construct, like how to appear constructed, but knowing the truth and running, how do you say this, like running the things in your mind behind the scenes before you open your mouth. Like, so if you were not politically inclined in this particular culture, Lilith in the third in this way might have you speaking out a lot more in raw, visceral ways. It might have you really interested in unpopular topics. I don't even know, like, like the social injustice of blah blah blah, you know, like of whatever it is, right?
Right,
It might have you speaking out about that, like because I happen to have Lilith conjunct Mercury, you know, near the third, and so like for me it comes out in being interested in certain themes about nature, but I'm not politically inclined. I could totally control that and use it to understand how your mind works. I can sense subtle things about how other people's minds work, and partially because I have Lilith in cahoots with Mercury. So it's like that also adds this sense of depth. And yeah, so you're right. Yeah, all the Libra you see in him, it's so sculpted and constructed. Like his persona is as sculpted as like Oprah's look at any given time.
Right.
Maybe less so for him because it's now habitual and he's been doing it a very long time. But I imagine him like, you know, coming up in the 60s and 70s politically and kind of really seeing what everything looked like and what it took to get to the top. And you can't always, you often can't tell the truth. You know, so even we always hear this thing replayed or this clip replayed in different contexts. And also somebody might say, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Right.
And we hear that. Right. And of course, it's this like lie he gets caught in. And there's the, like, Libra in the first problem, you know? But it's not always about telling the truth. But you're very aware of the power of telling the truth with Lilith in the third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.